Hallelujah. The series we're starting is Unshockable Love. Yeah, we have some of those books in the back there. So those, many of you have purchased it already. There's a couple that need to pick theirs up. There you go. John Burke wrote a book called Unshockable Love. I read it a little while back. We're using it as in a congregation. And I want us to lock on to this. My first message title is Do Not Be Shocked. Everybody say it. Do not be shocked. I was one time. I was involved in a prayer time with someone. I've shared this story before, but I was involved in a prayer time with someone, and they were going through some very difficult issues. And it was a challenging. Some things happened there that were really extraordinary. Anyway, I sat down right after that, and as I sat down, the Lord came with this like a vision, like I was in a pup tent sitting next to Jesus. It's kind of like a strange little moment there. And I had this little pup tent, and it was like as if this was all inside of my heart. Now, that's kind of rather abstract. But he was showing me that he's very close to me, and this is an intimate moment. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and the Lord says this, I like you. Now, I knew he had to love me because he's love. I knew he had to love me because God is love. But that shocked me. And I cried for 3 days. On and off, the Lord said, I like you. And involved in that was him saying, you're doing what I've called you to do to help people in deep areas of need in their heart. And I wept and wept. So I can't, my first point when we get to it is I have been shocked by the power and presence of God's love for me. The real meaning of this book and this title is that we're never to be shocked by anybody's level of sin. We're all sinners. So this message is about God's deep love and how he loves us and desires to love people through us. It's an important message because Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, our teacher, our example, and our judge and ruler. Wrap all that up. And so therefore, his heart for people is our standard. Are you there? What I desire us to do is to grow in the revealed love of God and also get this glimpse of his holiness in such a way, because understanding not only the depth of his love for us, but capturing a glimpse of the grandeur of his holiness causes our hearts to prepare for a time of when we'll stand before him and be accountable before him. Everybody's going to stand before the Lord. And so I believe the Lord revealed both the depth of his love for man in his sacrificial death on the cross and this divine standard of holiness that he through his great love imparts to us. How many of you have been marked by the flame? You know, there's more, and he empowers you with his love to get there. And you know that you're better in him than you've ever been but on your own. I just saw the most remarkable and touching video of a man probably in his, could be late 60s. I don't know. When you've lived a hard life, you could be 50 and look 70. I'm not sure. But this man was talking, and he was on the verge of tears, talking about wanting to be everything that Jesus wanted him to be. He had been a woman. He was covered with tattoos. He had eyebrows put on his eyes from like women do. He had been a woman for years. And then he met Jesus. And the Lord said to him, you're a man. He said, yes, I am. I mean, it melts your heart because the guy loves Jesus so much. He loves him so much, and I felt like I want to know this guy because he knows the depths of the grace of God. He's been marked by the flame. And that's like they said at youth camp, the power of a testimony. I have the power of my testimony coming out of things, but I didn't come out of certain things other people came out of, and they have the power of the testimony, what they came out of. Send them, Lord, send them, Lord, send them, Lord. Because Jesus does good things. What comes, A.W. Tozer said this, he's the author of many good books. He says, what comes into our minds when we think of God is the most important thing about us. And because people have hurts from their past, and their hurts of the past, they project an improper image on God, and they blame Him for the hurts they've endured. This verifies, validates Isaiah 53:6 that says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Anybody never done that? We've got the little t-shirts gone astray, you know. But on the back it says, "And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." And we are, through His sacrificial love for us, He's taken all of our sin. And all of our iniquity has been placed on the Lord. I have a verse I asked to put in here. Let's go ahead and put that up. This is all the introduction. Acts 16:14, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us," "whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken by Paul." That's the King James Version. My version says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. This is very crucial scripture, because you don't get anywhere unless the Lord opens your heart. And you cannot judge people who the Lord hasn't opened their heart. It's fruitless to judge people who the Lord has not opened their heart. It's pharisaical, and it's wrong, and you're not God. And Lydia was standing there, a seller of purple. And she's standing there, and it says, "And the Lord opened her heart." And so she could pay attention and understand what He was saying. You know what makes the difference between a great message and just a good one? The Lord opened your heart. The Lord opened your heart, and you attended to what the minister said. There are days when you know that, and you don't know what it was, but something so changed you. And it was that moment the Holy Lord says, "This is what you have need of. Listen." And next thing you know, your heart's open. It's foolishness to judge. It doesn't mean to not understand who you are, but be fearless. I want to call you to a fast. Let's fast fear. Today, let's fast fear. For the word declares in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Isn't that amazing? Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws them. So our role is to call, ask the Father, draw them, yes. Lord, draw them. Yes. Lift the veil, cause them to understand. Is that right? That's our role. Isn't it, Jeremy? We'll talk about that later sometime. Hallelujah. So I want to ask you if you would lift your heads and close your eyes and let me pray Paul's prayer over us. Would you do that? This is from Ephesians 1:16-23. Just lift your heads, open your ears, open your hearts. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Amen. I want to ask that you would listen to this message and by God's grace, apply it so that you don't forfeit something. Because these are days that you can forfeit and miss out. Number one, do not be shocked by how much God loves you. Do not be shocked. This is the foundation. Do not be shocked by how much God loves you. As you know, when Simon the Pharisee was saying in his heart and whispering, if Jesus knew who this woman was. He thought he was a prophet. He wouldn't have her touching his feet. And that story ends up saying, basically, Jesus saying, Simon, though her sins being many, she's received great forgiveness, therefore she loves much. The people who love the Lord a great deal are the people who've been forgiven much. I have a question for you. How patient has God been with you? How long suffering has the Lord been in your life? How long has it taken you to overcome, or are you still working on certain sinful things that just seem to be designed to take you out? Well, Jesus told this parable in Luke 18, 9 through 14. He said, also he told the parable to some, get this, he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. That's worth this. This worth the whole morning right there. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prays thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners and unjust and adulterers and even this tax collector here. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. He beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. I told a joke years ago about our righteousness is filthy rags. I won't get into the joke right now. Some of you go, I remember that one. Just say it with me. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Now the word for filthy rags here is menstrual cloth. The Hebrew word. Now you get it? The women go, I got it. The Pharisees' efforts were menstrual cloth. So much slough. There's nothing you can do with it except get rid of it. And that's what self-righteousness is. But mercy. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now there are the terms of receiving unshakable love. I don't know what to do with myself. I need some help. The terms are humility. Everybody say humility. Humility. When you have humility, you never see. And you know what? You begin with it. I've never seen in the Bible where it says you've been humble enough. You don't need to be humble anymore. It's not there. You're not going to find that. It just go on. You know what? There are seasons of your life where stuff crops up and it's like humility is the pathway to the grace that overcomes. You may be facing something of a rub of your own soul right now, and you just the pathway the Lord's speaking to you is humble your heart before me. Humble your heart before me. If things are going wrong and you're like, humble your heart before me. Relationships are exploding right, humble your heart before me. That's where the grace comes in. Humble, humble, humble. Humility, humility, humility. It's the way. Pride and fighting, it's not it. Humble, humble. He who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. But then when you humble yourself, you can be just blown up. You can be certain that you're going to have the substantial work of love in your life. Amen? Number two, do not be shocked that God loves people who are different than you. I'll read another little story here in the Bible. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Now Levi is actually Matthew, and Matthew wrote the Gospel of Matthew. So this is who we're talking about. And 15, verse 15 says, as he reclined at the table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. And the scribes and the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with the sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, why does he eat with the tax collectors and sinners? And when Jesus heard them, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Just a few days ago, in the news, a certain IRS official who's under congressional committee, the congressional committee subpoenaed emails because there were allegations concerning the resistance and the putting away or the any conservative group that wanted to become a tax-exempt, have tax-exempt status to help rally people to vote. They went through a difficult time with the applications and had FBI agents showing up at their houses and they had all this stuff, and they would kept stopping the process and asking for more information, more personal information, kept going and going and going. And so a lawsuit comes up, and the congressional committee says, we want the emails of this person. And we find out a couple of days ago that they were all magnetically erased. The tapes that they were all been magnetically erased. So now justice can't happen because the evidence has been tampered with. That would be Levi. There's certain negative emotions that rise up when justice doesn't happen because somebody's been oppressing somebody. That would have been the guy that wrote the book of Matthew. Because the Pharisees, representing the conservative values of the community, were being ripped off by the tax. And the worst sinner you could be would be a tax collector. And where do you think Jesus hangs out? He goes to the people who are so different from you that you're upset if you're a Pharisee. So Jesus would be having lunch at the IRS office, and the people would be drawn to him and leave that injustice, just like Zacchaeus did. And he didn't point out his sins. He just basically said, everybody listen to this. If you're in judgment, Jesus would say to you, I didn't come for you. I came for those who need a doctor. I came for the sick. And the group that you think are the sickos, that's where Jesus is hanging out. Are you there? Let's readjust our relationship. Let's expand our hearts. Let's open up to the work of the Holy Spirit. The good things that God has done for you, He wants to do for others. As long as you're in judgment of, well, I didn't sin like that, they're really bad, blah, 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 blah. You're pretty much worthless to the Lord. Get over your sense of self-righteousness. Go ahead and throw your menstrual cloth in the toilet and flush it. Get rid of your self-righteousness. These are the days we need to be the Lord's heart. Let me go ahead and mention, I'm going to say this in the next point too, but listen, if you're unrighteous, you're sure welcome here. You just won't be running the place. Did the Lord meet you where you were? In all of your mess, all of your messed up life, is He still meeting you? Then who are you to judge anybody else, no matter what decisions they made? Felt the passion rising up there. Number three, do not be shocked that God wants you to love, that God wants to love people who are different than you through you. Do not be shocked that God wants to love people who are different than you through you. Does anybody feel the wonderful, loving stretch of the Holy Spirit in your soul today? I want to cover one more story from the Bible and make a couple of points. This is a fast message. I'm just happy. It's a good one, though. I feel it's good to me because The Lord's redirecting my soul. He's stretching my heart and soul. I was telling somebody this morning, he says, you know what, the Lord, the culture being in conflict with the kingdom, you know, and so we come into the house of the Lord, and it's like the Lord just goes, he breathes us all down into his lungs, and he goes, blows us out, and we all feel better. Cleansed and stuff. Oh, you know, refreshed, you know, the work, the breath of the Spirit of God happening in our midst, you know, that being in that rhythm of, I got to get in the house. And then, well, the Lord's just having us build a much bigger shower downtown. Amen. So he can just rinse people and build them up. And amen. So here's the story here. By the way, this does not, what's really interesting, I heard different thoughts on this particular passage, the rich man and Lazarus, but Jesus does not say this is a parable. Some people just say automatically this is a parable. Usually when it's a parable, he says this is a parable, but he doesn't say this is a parable. So apparently this is a real story. And I don't know how he got it, but maybe the Father spoke it to him and said, go ahead and say this. This is a reality. Here's the reality. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day. Probably put on a few pounds. I can relate to this guy. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, Jesus is a good storyteller if he's making this up or if it's just reality, but he's catching the clues. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you, in your lifetime, received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, bad things. But now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed. And in order for those who would pass over from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Wow, wow, wow. When Jesus talked about, you know the time when Jesus, he said this two different ways. He said, with God all things are possible. With man things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. And nothing is impossible with God. One of them was with Mary when she was going to conceive the Christ child, right? You know the other one was? Rich man getting into heaven. He says, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. People's money gets in their way. They make it mammon, they make it an idol so quick, so easy. Now, that's the story here. But I heard another take on it, and I want to talk about that. We would be considered the rich men, right? And Lazarus would be the poor guy. And people around us who are less fortunate. And this minister's take on this thing was really amazing. He said, who is a Lazarus in your life? Because Jesus, Father God, gave the opportunity for the rich man to love someone who was different than himself. A guy who did not have food, who dogs licked the sores on his body, and he was ignored every day by the rich guy. What Lazaruses are in our life that we are ignoring? Are you there with me? Because I know this, you're going to be happy when you stand before Jesus. There won't be regret in your heart because somebody helped us by the Holy Spirit's presence to say, I don't want you to be shocked by the condition of people. Whether it's poverty, whether it's confusion over their identity, I don't want you to be shocked. I want you to have an unshockable love and to go beyond where you've gone before with me. The Lord's not asking you to do anything He's not doing. This is what the Lord is doing. It's the Lord that's doing it. And when you know the Lord is doing it, you're empowered to do it. I think I put a statement down there. I want to just look at this a little bigger note. A healthy, loving church is a church where unrighteousness is welcome but not promoted. Because everyone has a sketchy past. Indeed, a healthy church is an honest church. God is holy. God is love. God is love. God is holy. Love without truth is irresponsible. Truth without love is callous. We're called to walk in the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? I have one other thought here. Why was Jesus never shocked by the sin of anyone? Why is that? He didn't walk up on somebody and go, oh, God, you're just way beyond. Oh. Could you imagine that? Jesus making the sign of the cross go, you're too sinful, you're too sinful. Run, run. If that's the case, it would have been you, it would have been me. I know what you're thinking, I know what you thought. You made out a murder, but you've been angry so much, just like if you had an axe in your hand, everybody around you would be dead. You may not have committed adultery, but you have so much lust in your heart. And I've seen you on the internet. Who are you? You want to know the standard is way up there. And you can't meet it on your own. Because the Lord holds us to such a high accountability. If you break one part of the law, the whole condemnation of the whole law comes down on you. He says, if you want to go that route, you're already dead in the water. But if you come humbly and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Lord says, I'm going to give you an attraction to me that will help you overcome everything you ever had working against you. I'll cause you to come out of things that you never thought you could ever come out of. I'll melt away addiction. I'll break the power of thoughts that hold you. I will destroy the strongholds that you have given open doors to that laid hold of you. I'll break the hooks. I'll take the chains. I'll break the fetters. I'll set you free and you can walk with me and have a testimony that causes light to shine into the heart of another person and causes them to get the same hope you did in walking with Jesus, coming out of the darkness and into the light. Jesus said, I love this verse, John 2:24-25 says, but Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. And he needed no one to bear witness about man because he himself knew what was in man. Aren't you glad the Lord... love covers your sins. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? Love hides your embarrassing life from everybody else. Jesus covers you and me. And what He's done for you, go and do for others. And this is really important. I want you to be, I want the unshockable love to be magnified in your heart. I want you to go way beyond where you've been before. Us as a congregation. I want you to grow in the depths of God's love for yourself. I want you to see the depth of God's love for every person, no matter the level of sin. And I want you to be fearless in trusting the Lord to love others through you on His terms. Because there's going to come a day and we're going to stand in front of Jesus, see? Imagine. First of all, imagine what the world would be like if the church was like Jesus. Just imagine. There's going to be plenty of people reject Jesus, yes. But imagine if the church of the living God actually looked like Jesus. Wow! And had that same flavor and same heart and same... That's what we want, right? Because there's going to come a day, see. Imagine yourself standing in front of Jesus. Will it be a day of regret or a day of rejoicing? I feel like, I don't know why, but at this moment I feel like we should repent of everything we've said that's negative and everything that we have said that's contrary to the Lord's heart. Let's go ahead and repent. Wash your mouths clean. Wash your hearts clean. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Wash our minds. Cleanse us, Lord, from every foul thing, every discouraging thought that we've spoken, everything that's just been created a weight in the room or a weight in our life. We ask, Lord, you cleanse us. Cleanse the effect of all these unkind words, things. Just wash us right now in Jesus' name. Wash us. Hallelujah. Lord, put a super and bold faith in us for the next season where we're going. Cause us to see what your heart in every matter. Help us grow out of where we are into a new place. Let's go ahead and praise him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.